Appreciate that. Impact Sunday. I think I have a slide, right? At the start for the slide. Yeah, something like that. Impact looks like something like that to me. Breaking down walls that exist, you know, when you make an impact. So today's going to be unique. I barely ever, and if you've been here any part of the 19 years, it's sincere. How often do I ever talk about money at all? Money, never, right? Jordy, never. It just doesn't happen. Why? Because for 19 years, God's been taking care of us. Just, he does what he does. I do what I do, and he'll do what I told, we started church. I said, no, I don't want to. That's the first thing I said. And no, I don't want a pastor, and no, I don't want it to be here. And as soon as I said yes to those things, I said, then you got to take care of everything else. I really said, Lord, then this is yours. And I told Dr. Huddy, hey, as long as, after I start covering the bills for 2 months, all on my own pocket, I said, I'm done. I know that's a lot of faith, but that's just what happened 19 years ago, man. I'm going to be gut honest with you this morning. And never missed a late payment on anything we ever do. And actually, we sow seed to people around the world to see things that happen. So it's a God thing, right? So I hope to highlight the importance of making an impact in most of the message today. I'm going to use some of God's words, how they impacted me. Oh, I didn't have ready for that slide yet, but that's okay. That's going to come up again when I point it out. I like that one because he's getting into it. He's backhanded almost because he's got it down. You know what I mean? He needs a one in the other hand, but I couldn't find a double hammer, so just bear with me. When it comes to things like money, his word seems fairly clear to me. And I'm grateful for that. I like clarity. Ever have someone tell you a story and like 14 minutes in, you're like, I don't even know what they're talking about. They're just, you're going, it's about a squirrel. I don't know. You know? I like when stuff's clear. I just do. These are my personal experiences, but they're not just my personal experience. Some things I'm going to share, but you can talk to a lot of people around here about some of the things I say today to see if they're working their lives, you know. I got a lot of testimonies about finances. People all the time saying, God did financial things for you. But I also hear a lot of things about how people impacted your life by taking a risk when you were risky to talk to about Jesus. Right? Anybody, someone take a risk, talk, you know when they talked to you about Jesus, they were taking a risk. Yeah, I'll tell you right now, the first person that wanted to talk about Jesus, I was like, I'll choke you out. Thank you, Jen. Thank you. You know, so for time's sake, let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that I would do a good job. I would leave the message that you would have me to leave. Pastor Jody just needs to get those fives off the ground, so Lord, bless those fives. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving, either regularly or in special offerings, makes an impact, right? And that's what I wanted to talk about. I want to break down the walls and how it builds you up personally. So when it comes to giving, honestly, I believe it's just part of life. I really do. In general, this is not just New Season stuff. This is life in general. Generosity, no matter how wealthy you are or what your situation in life is, you can still be generous. Like, I know some very generous people that don't know Jesus at all, and they're financially blessed. I have friends that I went to school with are millionaires. And say, well, yeah, of course they give. No, their family have been giving for generations. That's why they're blessed. In my community, seriously, that's the truth. And so I know how the principles work whether you know Jesus or not, you know. But I believe everybody should play a part in a family. Anybody from a family? Anybody not have a job growing up in your family to do? Make your bed, clean your room. Right? We all have to play part in the family. So I think when it comes to the facts about churches and giving, I'll give you some facts. You ready? I've seen it abused terribly. Anybody else? Yeah. No one's ever seen church abuse finances? Come on, raise your hand. This is a place you can tell the truth. It happens, right? I've seen people shamed because they don't give. Anybody else? It's garbage. Absolute garbage. You won't have that here. It's not what today's about. I've seen God grossly misrepresented many times. Anybody? Grossly misrepresented. So I will do my best. I promise to do my very best, try very hard to be careful with God's word every Sunday. So say money is a dumb reality. It's a dumb reality, isn't it, man? And here's Pastor Heidi gave some realities. You ready? Money realities for real adults. Real adults, this is stuff real adults should know. If you consider yourself an adult, you should know the things I'm about to say. Things cost money. roofs and cars and electric and gas and toilet paper and snacks and water and AC. And it's shocking, but Costco expects money every time I go. Costco like, no, you can't take that. What do you mean, man? It's America. Uh-huh. It is America. Don't even get me started on what the government wants, right? But I hope to relate. Move on, Pastor. You were doing okay. No, relate money to you, not just at New Season, but in life. But as far as New Season's concerned, money helps things here too. It pays for things like AC and electricity and for facility and toilet paper and water and coffee. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Right. And here's the truth. Some finances keep me from only having two jobs. I only have two. Seriously, I'm grateful for that. I only have two. Pastor Heidi has three or four. She does. If you count Christmas time when she paints windows, she's got four. But she's got three jobs, right? Say thank you, Jesus. You know, we're grateful. We are blessed. Giving also helps people. Giving helps people. Helps people here. And the people that have come through the doors being able to help over the course of life has been amazing. It helps people there in AJ, you know. Helps around the U.S. It helps Romania, Haiti, Ghana. But in regards to giving, you should know that God always has a plan. He's got a plan for everything, right? So he has a plan how he wants to bless you. So I want to get some impact scriptures at some point in time, but I was remiss if I don't go over this first with my time frame. I will do my best. I am the church. So yes, you are. So before I release you today, and when I do at the end, I want you to grab a picnic lunch and slurp it down as you leave. Right? Slurp it all down as you leave. I want you to go do that, and then I want you to give $5 away. Now, if you have your own $5, I suggest you use it because that's your seed. But if you're like, I came in today, didn't expect that. I don't have $5. I don't know where an ATM is. I came from Mars, and I live in the dumpster out back. Then I got $5 for you. Okay. I got more. I've got like $50 worth of $5. Ten fivers. At least I did. I don't know. Pastor Jody came up real quick, and I didn't see if she put them back. So I don't know. You know. But I want you to take $5 on your way home after you slurp down your picnic and make an impact on somebody's life. Be prayed up. It doesn't have to be the homeless guy in the corner. He loves Impact Sunday. I think he knows. He's like, I'm going to be the first one, which is awesome. But the goal isn't just to give $5 away. It's to really give $5 to them, make an impact, and hopefully get the opportunity to pray for them. Sue, that happened to Caitlin Sue this week. You want to know how to do it real good? She'll meet every day after service. Just we'll meet with you. Okay, great. Caitlin's like, don't, Papa, don't do that to me. I knew it was coming, so I did it yesterday. I doubled down on it and blessed one of the local guys, Scott, and his dog, Spaz, and got to pray for him. But I really want you to go impact somebody on your way home. It'll change your life. Like, pray. Like, who's supposed to get that? Might be someone just sitting in here now. Might be someone around your neighborhood. It might be someone when you go to Walmart. Might be someone at Filiberto's. I don't know. How much you prayed about the offering, what you want to give today, pray that much about where you give you five, right? So I want to recap. I believe that Jasmine put this lunch together for one reason. I thought about, why are we doing a picnic lunch? Why are we doing that? And I know it's for this. She wants your belly full so you're not cranky when you leave. You can't give your $5 away and be cranky about it. You know, man, I'm so hungry. They kept me so long. We had a thing about Women's Hope, and then we had announced worship, and Pastor Sean's up there talking about stuff like Charlie Brown teacher, wah, 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 and I'm so hungry. $5, I'm taking this $5, bless me with a burrito. You know, see what I'm saying? No. Don't do it. You know, don't do it. Just go give your $5 away. Make it a nice impact, okay? So if you want to know how to give, I don't know. Dr. Heidi and one of the other pastors are more equipped. I don't. I'm a guy that still writes checks. You don't even know what checks are, do you? He laughed at me. He's like, Pastor Sean, you old, you know. But here's something I learned last week when Pastor Sharon did an amazing job. Didn't she crush it last week? Uh-huh. She crushes it. She taught me something last week. This is what she taught me. She taught me, if you want to get their serious attention, you have to clap. So, how's that? I'm doing that right now. See, I can't even clap right. I can't even do it like she does, you know. But now that I've clapped, I want you to listen fresh and deep today for him. Not stuff I already know. Pastor Sharon brought that up last week. Not something I already know. And don't even think it's stuff I already disagree with. Like, try to just be like, pastor's just going to share. It's just fresh listening, Mom. Just fresh listening. You know, I want him to speak to you possibly and speak to me. And there's no condemnation of the things I share. And if you're just like, I've already heard it, been there, done that, just bear with me. Right? I'm just going to talk a little bit about financial stuff that I learned when I grew up as a Christian. I wasn't raised a Christian. I was raised in a denomination. I didn't know Jesus. I was quite a hellion. I spent a lot of money on doing stupid things to my body and not caring anything what God had said. But I remember as I got into the church, Bishop Pierce, Pastor Jim at the time, one of the things I loved about his teaching about the kingdom of God was great, but he rarely ever talked about money. I appreciated that. And that's why you catch me here. I trust God. And sometimes I stay away from topics that probably could educate us more and help us better. So I'm trying to do that this morning. To be honest with you, if I'm a confessing Christian, I really thought this. As I got into Love Church and I was there just trying to serve Jesus, I actually thought, if I'm actually trying to mature and live a life as a Christian, then there's some stuff I got to know for myself. I got to go figure out. Pastor can't teach me on everything. And so I started digging into my Bible, right? And see what God says about things. And then they would pass, like back in the day, they would pass like this little thing around, you know? And I'd always be like, man, I hope I got something in there. You know, who's watching me? Oh, look over there! You know, and I just toss like, what? What's in there? Who put that? Is that a button? Yeah, that's a button. That's what I got, man. You know? But he rarely talked about that. And I realized I had to look up some stuff for myself. I want to know what God really expected from me. Because I talked to other brothers, saw how successful they were. I learned some things. So I'm going to give you some glimpses into the Word of God today. Just a couple about four about finances and the rest about impact. Right? I'm going to do the Old Testament, say deep roots. Yeah, and the New Testament, say I'm the church now. So I'm going to use both, right? I'm not going to just do one. I heard this joke, and it's well played out, but I love it because it's my ethnic heritages. But I'm going to start with the Italian prophet, Malachi. Now, it's Malachi, I know. Jeff's not here, so he can't even bust on me, or my Hebrew brother. You know, but if you knew the Fonz back, anybody know the Fonz was back? Thank you, old people. Remember the Malachi brothers? The Malachi Crunch, right? So when I'm reading for the first time, I go, a Malachi! And they're like, no, that's not Malachi, dude. It's a Paisan. No, he's not a Paisan. It's Malachi. Learn something, kid. Okay. Malachi 3, 7 through 10. Yet from the days of your fathers you have turned away from my statutes and my ordinances and have not kept them. You've turned away from my statutes and my ordinances and you haven't kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. That's unfair to me. It's like, okay, you turn to me. I got that. And then hit me. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Well, yet you are robbing me. And I said, hold up. I read it first. I go, hold up. I'm not that stupid. I've done some dumb things in my life, but I would not think to rob God. Like, I'm just telling you, that's where I was at when I paused right there when I first read it. I would never even consider robbing you, Lord. And then the next verse kind of hit me. But you say, in what way have I robbed you? And I was like, they said the same thing I did. Dang. And I had to be honest, you know, I watched. I was 20 and 21 at the time. And I watched how money ruined people's lives. I watched how it became worshipped. It becomes the primary thing, you know, in most people's lives. And so I heard a Billy Joel melody in my head, you know. I'm not going to sing it right now. I'm going to do my best. We'll get Marisol to sing it for me next time. I'll give you the words. Honesty, such a lonely word, but mostly what I need from you. Billy Joel's song, Honesty. Honesty, hardly ever heard, but mostly what I need from you. You need honesty from here, right? Not pressure, just honesty. Right? I'm just going to try to be honest. Money gets treated like a god. It gets treated like a god. It wants to be a god, right? So I knew that no matter whatever he said next, when that hit me, I knew this. I personally never wanted to rob God. Like, I had done a lot of things, and I was like, I'm done with that. He says, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? Say, the answer's coming. In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings you have withheld. Man, I found out as I read and researched, there's a difference between the two, and I didn't know that. I just didn't. Giving tithes is like a regular giving. And offerings are things like impact offering and special offerings. And I just didn't know. I'm researching, you know, I'm learning. It says, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings you withheld. It says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. This whole nation. I was like, no joke. This whole nation is a robber from God. It takes glory from him all the time. It's the one that made the dollar king. You know? That's the reason. It says, bring all the tithes, the tenth, into the storehouse. And I went, well, what's a storehouse? And then I realized, oh, the temple. They're talking about the temple. The physical place that God spiritually and socially gathers his people. I went, okay, I'm down with that. Why? So that there may be food in my house. Like sack lunches and stuff? Yeah, maybe sometimes, you know. It's great to have those things. But how about things like, I don't know, emotional, physical, and spiritual help? A place to go and call family, right? Say, the big part is about to be read. Don't make him clap. Okay, I won't clap. God says, God says, test me now in this. 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 Test me. God says, now test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. I had to paraphrase it. You ready? Try it. Try it now. Do it and see what happens. Okay. God says, see if I'm telling you the truth. That mattered to me. Because if he lied to me here, then he could lie to me anywhere. And I don't always see the dead raised, but they have been. And I've physically been part of seeing God do something crazy like that. And that can build your faith. But sometimes, then again, the next sixth person, how much faith do you have? And God didn't do what you asked him for and you begged him for. This is one place I've seen God show up every time. And he said, test me in it, right? I'm just saying. That is so great because God gave us humans a simple, provable step, a way to grow our faith. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there's no more room to receive it. I've seen that over and over and over and over in my life and so many other people's lives. It's just been amazing. I know Jasmine left probably because I was going to pick on her. She's one of the most generous people I know. And God's always blessing her with stuff. She's always got stuff blessed. She got abundance of blessing. Like, Pastor, what can I do with this? Can I do hot dogs? No! Go bless other people. I can't take the blessing right now, Jazz. You got too much blessing, you know. But God said, try it and test me now. So I gave this a chance. I saw it as an opportunity to see if God's word really worked. And I'm just being honest. I just came from a lot. I've seen a lot of money abuse. And I've seen a lot of people that had money that didn't take care of what they're supposed to do, you know. Living above their means or putting stuff into their lives that they can't afford, right? And so I was just like, you said test me? Okay. And I'll tell you the absolute truth. I've seen it work for 36 years in my life. 36 years straight. It works over and over with super remarkable results. And if you add stewardship to it, like doing what you're supposed to do with the stuff you have, you'll change the world. So it doesn't just work for me. It works for other people. Additionally, I really looked at it like this. Jody and I talk about this all the time. If you're part of our vacuuming conversations, this is how it pretty much goes. I don't deserve nothing. Me either. Right? I don't deserve all the stuff I got. God's done for me. So I went, Lord, whatever you want, you can have. Why? Because I was nothing. I was dead. I had nothing. And you saved me. And you can have everything. You can have 90%. What is it you want? Who am I to hold back from you? Whatever you ask of me. Because you gave me everything. You sent your only begotten son, perfect, into the world for a scumball like me. What do you want? Good exchange, right? So I was eager to try it to see if it worked. Because A, it didn't matter if it didn't because I loved him. If that's what he said he wanted, he could have it. And B, he said, test me. You know, it's a little trash talk I felt. So I had to pick him up on it, you know. Tithes and offerings. He talks about in the Old Testament. I'll do one another Old Testament scripture. Proverbs 11:24. Proverbs 11:24 and 25. There is one who generously scatters and yet increases. Jasmine. One who generously scatters yet increases. Yet increases all the more. You ever known a generous person? Like, do you guys know anybody generous? I hope you know some generous folks. Because you see this, right, in their lives. They're just generous people. They're blessed. And there is the one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in wanton poverty. Most people do not honor God with their things. Above their things are usually in a mess most of the time. The principles of generosity work whether you know them or not. But people that are not generous, like the getters, you know any getters? They're always looking to get. Getters? Getters are always looking to get. Why? Because they never have enough. They're always trying to get. They're always trying to get. God says, no, when you're generous, the generous man is a source of blessing, and he shall be prosperous and enriched. And he who waters will himself be watered, reaping the generosity he has sown. The tithe's a regular percent. But generosity can be anything at any time. You can be generous. Like, you don't have to have, like, there doesn't have to be an impact offering. You can just all of a sudden go, man, I was walking through Walmart. I've watched people from this church do this. I love it when it's members of my family. We'll be in the Walmart grocery line, and I'll just see them call it. I say, well, I want to buy the people's stuff in back of me. Do that. Makes me go, man, I wish I'd have thought of it. You know? Generous sowing can be anywhere at any time. You have been in a world of getters. And the Old Testament talks to us in our deep roots. We have the same father, right? About robbing and giving. And so I thought, what does the New Testament have to say? That was enough for me. But the Old Testament seemed pretty clear. But and there's a lot more scriptures I'm just not picking out today. So I went to the New Testament. I go, what does Jesus have to say? Because sometimes the New Testament alters stuff. You ever notice that? It alters stuff that it already fulfilled. If it's been fulfilled, it can be altered, right? But his word doesn't change. It say, well, Jesus came, so you can just go ahead and murder. Right? No? No, right. So there's deep roots and there's things that exist, right? So let's see what Jesus had to say. Matthew 23:23. Woe to the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And he dogs them out a lot. They're the religious folks. I'm not really fond of religious folks. People think of me as religious folks and it makes me mad. I'm a relationship guy, not a religious guy. Woe to the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you give a tenth, a tithe. You give a tenth and a tithe of your mint and dill and cumin, focusing on minor matters and have neglected the weightier stuff. Okay. The more important moral and spiritual provisions of the law, like justice, mercy, and faithfulness. How many know that justice, mercy, and faithfulness are more important than money? If you don't know that, we're in a bad state. They're more important. Absolutely, 100% more important. Okay. But these are the primary things you ought to have done. Like, that should be your motivation. Without neglecting. What are you saying? Without neglecting the others. Jesus said that, bro. I went, okay. Have his character without neglecting what he says about giving. Okay, I can do that. Give stuff, but make sure your heart's right, because that's more important than what you give. your heart in doing something, the reason you're doing something is way more important. All right, Lord, keep me in check. Because there's times I've written checks out, but it's been more of a razzle. Which that's kind of Christian cussing, you know. Yeah. Just writing them out. That wasn't a good heart. I've done it before. He said, care about my commands on love and character. Jesus said, keep doing the stuff that you're supposed to do and take care of provision. Jesus said that. Say, I am the church. I have one more. Just one more. Say, hallelujah. I'm getting off finances right now. This is the last one. Boop. I'm dumping off after this one. Just going into impact, right? 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 7. This is what I thought it necessary to urge these brothers to go and make arrangements in advance. This is Paul talking. Arrangements for this generous previous promised gift offering of yours so that it would be ready. I wonder if they had announcements like we do. I phase out on announcements. Like, you know, like impact offerings coming a month. You should tell somebody. It's been going on for a month. Really? Oh, that happened during announcements, didn't it? Yeah, I was playing with Ephraim's foot or something. I don't know. I don't know if they had those problems, if their announcements were, you know. But he said, you know, I'm making arrangements for this gift so that it would be ready. Not as something extorted or wrung out of you. That's horrible. Never come in here ever and feel like that's happening to you. I'd probably be a couple years for even mention the scriptures I mentioned already. I'm just mentioning because at some point in time, I knew they helped me. And if I don't share honest and truth, I don't give you an opportunity to be helped either, right? So not as something exhorted or wrung out, but as voluntary and a generous gift. Now remember this, Paul's speech. Remember this, he who sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and he who sows generously will reap generously. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he's decided in his heart. Relax. There's no pressure to be part of New Season Christian Fellowship at all. We're honored that you just come and spend a minute with us. And I hope when you come, you experience God, especially in worship and the Word. And so all we're really asking is ask God if he wants you to do anything. And if he says to do something, just do that. It says, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, I wonder if that's because when we're generous, we look just like him. We're always asking for stuff, and he's always doing stuff for us. He's always very generous. And when he sees us being generous, it's an easy way to show him off, right? Say Jesus, right? Say impact. So if this is your storehouse and you want to know how to do all that financial stuff, see Dr. Heidi, Pastor Jody, Pastor Sharon. Don't see me because I really don't know. So there we go. Say impact. I'm going to define impact for us. The action of one object coming into forcible contact with another. Forcible contact with another. Definition number two, to have a strong effect on something or someone. To have a strong effect on something or someone. When we submit ourselves to obedient acts, that is often when impacts happen in other people's lives. Right? That extra mile changes everything sometimes. The church is supposed to impact the world. It's not like, well, got saved. Good luck, everyone else. Right? I got the key to life and happiness and success, and I know how to get forgiven. I don't deuces, everyone. We are the church. No, that's not the slogan. No, the church is supposed to impact the world. Say, I am the church. His love gets shown through us in both our words and our deeds, right? The church is called to make an impact. So look at my time, doing super good. I want to pick up in Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power and ability. This can show up in lots of ways. But you'll receive power and ability. This verse is powerful, super powerful, and real to its core. But it's often been faked. It's often been faked or abused as well. And I'm tired of that in the church. I'm serious. We need the Holy Spirit. We don't need fake and abuse and all your shenanigans. We need honest encounters with God. There's a lady got healed last week in service during worship when no one laid their hands on her. That's God. That's real Holy Spirit. That's what we need. And so I'm going to encourage you to start seeking that in your life. Seeking that in your life, right? If God uses you to do anything, your gifts, your talents, your abilities, it's all for His use, right? It's all for His use. He can give us gifts however He wants. We should learn to use them properly, right? No more babies with power tools, right? You will gain ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. What is the Holy Spirit's number one gift and priority in our lives? To be His witnesses. Man, it takes courage to walk up to somebody, Sue, and give them $5 so they don't know you, and you ask to pray for them, or if whatever you should tell your story. All right. Without the Holy Spirit, she can't do that. Man, you saw it Thursday night. Pastor D was ministering to kids. The Holy Spirit was ministering to some of these kids. Their lives were breaking open. And they were receiving a ministry. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Right? You will be my witnesses to tell people about me. Say, that's the point. To tell people about me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Say, I'm the church now. Not just Miley. Not just, she's our other missionary that's out there right now. His gifts are given to tell people about Him. To tell what He's done in our lives. We're a show and tell project, Haley. That's what we are. Right? And we should tell people about Him, it says, in our homes, in our hometown. That's Jerusalem. That was their local area, you know? We should tell people about the goodness of Jesus in our country. That's Judea. Right, and close by countries, that's Samaria, and everywhere the ends of the earth, wherever Miley's going right now. Billy Joel popped in my head. Yes, Jody, tell them about it. You know, I was going to break in and tell her about it. But then I thought Pastor Heidi would be in the back going, and so I just moved on. Just moved on. Say impact. All right. Acts 1:1-4. I want to backtrack. This first account I made Theopolis, and then honestly, I got distracted right there. I'm sure I have some form of attention deficit disorder. I pulled over right there and I go, why does no one name their kid Theopolis anymore? I don't know. Do anybody have any Theopolises? Dang, see what I'm saying? Like, Pastor, what is your problem? The first I made Theopolis was a continuous report about all the things that Jesus began to do and to teach. Why I stopped there is they reported His deeds and His words. We got to be careful not to report how awesome our church is. Or how awesome our cool revelation or wisdom is on a topic and what God told us and what our gifts are all about. Right? It's not an advertising of our gifts or ideas. That's not what we're out there doing. We're telling how awesome He is and what He's done. And sometimes we can mess that up a little bit, right? Yeah, how many services you got? How's the finance? How many people got saved? Baptism? It's not a checklist, bro. That's not how He's going to measure it. What is Jesus doing in people's lives is what matters, right? All the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He ascended to heaven. Now, this was trippy to me. After He had, by the Holy Spirit, given instruction to the apostles whom He had chosen, to these He also showed Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs and unquestionable demonstrations, appearing to them for a period of 40 days. And I had to pull over and I was reading that for the first time. I'm picking myself at 20. I go, oh, I thought basically 3 days later you rose from the dead, popped into the upper room, had some, you know, bread. They were like, what, Jesus? And then you were dipping. I thought that. He was only, he rose for like, he was around a couple days. You know, he's like, I got to go to heaven now. I can't hang with you people. Lunch is over. You know? No, it said He appeared over a period of 40 days, talking to them about the things concerning the kingdom of God while being together and eating with them. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Say, God is love. And God has commands. And we have a hard time with that. I don't like to be commanded to do anything. I hate it. I hate it. Dude, I'm so proud of Caleb and Andrew, like you're working for your dad, it's your dad's crew, and you're out in the heat and you're doing stuff. And I remember my first job coming to Arizona as a young messed up kid without Jesus, had a chip on my shoulder made of cement, right? And I'm out there, man, trying to work, and they're showing, I'm trying to roll, and it's the side of the road. It's not even the part of the road you drive on, it's like the edging. And I'm having to put little chip rocks in there with a shovel, and I'm thinking how stupid this is. And it's 112 outside, and I'm out in the middle of Florence, out near a prison, nowhere. Who even rides on this road? And I'm edging it, you know, and I'm not happy about it. I'm putting it down, and all of a sudden, this guy gets off his tractor, his little air-conditioned booth tractor, gets down and says, "You got to roll it this way." I said, "You better get on your tractor." I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, boss. Yes, dad." I said, "You better get on your tractor right now. Don't tell me how to roll rocks." I was doing it wrong, but I don't want to know about it, you know. I had a problem. Commands were not my thing. Says, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak." He's sending them his Spirit to dwell in them so they can make an impact. The church needs that. If you don't have or never received the Holy Spirit, I'd encourage you after church, go over to the prayer wall, and Pastor Jody will lay hands on you, encourage you, and then also in your home, and when you're in your wayside, ask him for more. Right? Acts 1:5. "For the John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now." It's not a small thing. I'm going over it because we're making an impact. I'm about ready to let us out soon to do some fun stuff. Acts 1:6 through 7. "So when they had come together, they asked him repeatedly. Do not point them out. Ever have someone in your life who you know is the one who asks you the same questions over and over and over repeatedly? Anybody? Don't point at Nana. Don't point at Nana. Don't do that to her. Nana, you're my question girl. Anybody else have a question person in their life? Like, yeah. Tammy, like, keep going, Pastor. I'm looking at my phone. Mm-hmm. She got a question person in her life. I'm sure she does. We all do. Right? Continue to ask God questions. It's okay. Like, don't not ask him. Ask God questions. And he has sometimes some serious, specific answers. So sometimes, like, I wish I didn't even ask him that. You want me to do what? With that $5? Oh, come on. Right? Ask him. He has exact answers sometimes. But sometimes, his answers are none your business. I'll read it. "Asking repeatedly, they said, 'Lord, are you at this time reestablishing the kingdom and restoring Israel? Lord, at this time, you gonna, Lord, is it this the time? Lord, now is the time,'" right? That's all they could fathom, was the impact on their current life, how it changes Israel and how they live and what they're supposed to. That's all they could think about, their impact. They didn't see us 2,000 years later. You have no idea how long an impact can last. "He said to them," my version of Nunya, say none, yeah. "He said to them, 'It's not for you to know the times or epochs.'" But, no, it's not for you to know, but, it's not, "which the Father has fixed for his own authority." God shares lots of stuff with us, but he reserves the right to not share some stuff with us. It's his right, right? It's his agenda. That's just the facts. So it's time to be the impact. Be it how and where he wants you to be. And remember the things he has said to you clearly. Acts 1:8. "But you'll receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses to tell people about me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." I wanted to read it again because I want the right side to point at the left side of the room and say, "He's talking to you." And then the left side point at the right side, "You too, man. Don't make him clap. It's time to make an impact. Consistently make an impact everywhere we go. Acts 17:6, and I think this is my last scripture. It is. Acts 17:6, say impact. But when they failed to find them, now here's some punks searching for Paul and Silas. And they're my version of punks. They're punks. They're trying to, you know, beat up the disciples, and they're causing trouble, and they're the religious hypocrites, and they're looking for Paul and Silas. So that's who the they is. It's when they failed to find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city authorities, shouting. Shouting. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here today. I'd like you to stand. I believe he's talking to the church today, right there. The world needs turning upside down. I don't know if you've noticed the world lately. It needs some turning upside down. The world needs upside down turning more than probably ever before. So who's ready to go? Who's ready to go turn the world upside down again to tell what Jesus has done for you and what he's done? Who's ready, right? Who's ready to be part of that world change today? I want you to consider giving to the impact offering. That's awesome. How you do that, I don't know. But I do want you to take your fiver with you. And if you need a fiver, I have one right here. And I want you to go be his church today. I'm getting you out 10 minutes earlier than I usually do to slurp down your lunch, fill your belly up, pray up, and go find someone's life to make an impact for today. And don't mention New Season till you mention praying for Jesus, please. That's out of order. You got a great pastor, this great idea. No. What do you need? I asked Scott. I don't know. He was in a bad shape, I could tell. So I dropped off some Gatorade and some jerky, you know. And I said, hey, man, sounds like a crazy question because I see that things are hard, but what is one thing I can pray for you at? He said that I stop getting myself in dumb situations, make better choices. How honest was that guy? I said, I can agree with you for that. And so I prayed for him. I didn't invite him to church. I just prayed for him. And I said, dude, enjoy your Gatorade. Stay out of the heat. Have an amazing day. You don't know what $5 can do to change somebody's life. So Father, I just release New Season Christian Fellowship to be the church today to one another and the church to the world outside those walls. And I pray every person that gets a contact by someone who believes in you today, their life will be impacted for generations that we can't even see. Generations would be changed because of the impact that's made today. For your glory and your name alone, the church said amen. Amen. Amen.